Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM. As always, your drive time show duos. Actually, duo, that's more like it's a duo, means two, it's plural, but you can't say duos now, can you? Because then it's like saying a pair. You can say a pair, you know. Making it plural. It requires a lot of following the English language drama, which I do not have in my vocabulary. Nor do I have the energy to basically pay attention to all those. None of my business details. So, let's talk about shipping for today. This is a ship that mode of transport that you find in the ocean. Which is why I started with English, because that's, you know, this is not a ship at the farm. Mm-mm, not that ship. Not ship, S-H-E-E-P. Nope. Ship, S-H-I-P. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And this is based on the discussion that's coming out of our parliament. This is also a motion that was... Actually, put forth by the Minister of Works and Transport, that's Veiko Nekundi. Now, there are some documents I ran into today. I actually never thought they even existed. Well, it turns out they do. And one of those documents is one that was spearheaded in 1987, Kenya. That's the first time it pops up is 1987, and again in 2006. Reflecting an effort of three countries, and that's Uganda and Kenya. You have Uganda, Kenya, and Zambia. Yes, Uganda, Kenya, and Zambia. Now, it turns out Namibia, we really want to expand because we are looking into shipping from the look of things. And now, I go through parliamentary standing committee reports all the time. So, for me at least, the way I look at parliamentary standing committee reports is that if you follow them the way that I have basically followed them, and the way that they have been coming out, more frequently these days, if you look at them, you can easily assess our economic capabilities, even when it comes to manufacturing. Now, this is my own judgment here, but I'll just give you one example. We have a tannery in Ondangwa that last time I checked based on the previous parliamentary standing committee report of last year, it was not operational. And in Kurankuru we still have unless it disappeared overnight a textile factory, which is also based on the same report that brought about the progress of the tannery in Ondangwa, it's also not operational. And we have the infamous Peugeot that went down under. When I look at these patterns, all I see is, maybe we should just stick to Instagram. This whole manufacturing thing doesn't look like it's our thing. Now, is it? Now, do we have the capacity? Absolutely. And at this point, you are thinking about, another manufacturing attempt that we have made as a country that didn't do very well. And that's the, remember the famous condom factory? Well, remember that, right? Now, when I look at all these patterns, I just can't help but feel pity for my country's economy, especially when it comes to manufacturing. It's like we are not very good at planning in some of these initiatives. Look, developing a country is a trial and error. It's basically like living your life as a person. It's trial and error. You try this, you fail, and then you move on to the next part and try again and fail, and one day you're going to get it. That's why if you look at a lot of, developed countries, there are certain things that they tried, and some of it, failed, and some of it survived to this day. Now, I think we are in that stage where we are just basically trying out everything. Well, we tried automotive with Peugeot, and that didn't work very well. And a lot of economic experts will tell you why you need, you know, if you want to manufacture, it's important to build everything at home rather than getting something outside the country and trying to play pretend like it's yours. That's the most painful thing Omlemba have to, Omlemba taught me. Very painful. It's a reality. I mean, he's in the line of work where he actually understands that, and he's a holy cow, man, he's good at it. I didn't actually know that. I thought you could just, you know, get some parts from Japan, then just slap on a stamp of made in Namibia, and then voila. It turns out, no, you can't. Global economy is painful, very painful. Now, I'm looking at all these, attempts that we have made into going into the direction of manufacturing, and walking in is yours truly, Dwight. Now, where was I? I'm looking into all the attempts that we have made, and more like the sluggish progress, or let me just, the questionable progress that we have made in the direction of manufacturing. And I'm asking myself, I'm looking at this this way. Yeah, I'm looking at this this way. Shipping is a very lucrative industry to venture into. But do we have the capacity? Dwight?
It's not just capacity, dude. And good afternoon to the listeners. Other situations, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's not just about capacity, Almut.
What is it about again?
The question that beats me here for our discussion.
Yeah.
Like our poster says, are we dusting something off or taking it out of somewhere out of some sort of forgotten shelf?
Someone just went.
And then.
Right, this one.
Yeah.
That was the Minister of Works.
So let's go to Namibia and go ask Namibia. Look. Helmut, okay, let's give the minister, Vaikunu Kundi, the benefit of the doubt here.
Yeah.
Remember those two things I quickly shared with you just before we started, which is also me in transit on the way here as well, in terms of those two updates as to where does Namibia fit in with this ISCOS discussion. Mm-hmm. So, guys, if you go Google search ISCOS, please do not be...
The first poster, yeah.
confused by the International Spinal Cord Society.
Not that ISCOS.
Not that ISCOS. This is the Intergovernmental Standing Committee on Shipping. Now, I thought it was, primarily when I saw these two documents, Helmut, at the start of this month, I thought it was, so it's probably something there in the National Assembly we're trying to rearrange. Because when you read the language, it says Intergovernmental Standing Committee, and I fell for the Standing Committee part by ignoring the intergovernmental part. So I thought it was something internal.
Yeah, like one of the Standing Committee reports we go through all the time.
Yeah, and then I read the documents again, and I was like, but this speaks about
this is intergovernmental
agency being established regarding shipping. And then you like the rabbit hole we went down today in trying to find out, where does Namibia fit into this thing?
Oh.
How does Namibia fit into this thing? Okay, but you'll answer that. You'll answer that.
Shall we lay the foundation?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Republic of Namibia, order paper of the National Assembly. And you go to page 29.
Out of 30 pages, guys.
Yeah, just scroll until your finger hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just scroll until your finger hurts on page 29. Actually, 28, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, notice of motion, Minister of Works and Transport, current Minister of Works and Transport now.
Yeah.
This is a motion from the look of things that's putting forward for deliberation in the National Assembly. And, National Assembly agreed to the protocol amending. Now it's like, amending? Now, if you're talking about amending, that means this document already exists. Amending the agreement establishing the Intergovernmental Standing Committee on Shipping, ISCOS, and also to the agreement for the establishment of the Intergovernmental Standing Committee on Shipping. So first of all, you want to amend the protocol. Now you want to amend the agreement for the establishment and then establish the institution.
Yeah, but when you
that's what I'm reading in these two statements.
But when you read that 1987 document, the one that looks like it was typewritten by a typewriter,
that was basically typewritten.
Yeah,
Now, Amatuke, you may want to step aside on this one.
Amatuke, if you even know what a typewriter looks like, I'm really sorry, but you guys will have to go sit at the back of the bus.
You guys at the back of the class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
picture a keyboard without a screen.
Aiyah, Helmut. You're taking this even further regarding the typewriter.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah, so imagine the situation. Nah. This intergovernmental standing committee.
Yeah.
When you read what is proposed in that document, the one of 1987.
Yeah.
It literally proposes that a agency be established.
Yeah.
Not a functionary of the AU, not a something like Afri-Exim Bank, you know, that works in collaboration with one of the AU agencies, specifically with the UN, with the AU African Development Bank, because they work in tandem as well. Because it's the African Development Bank's sort of like purview to help develop the African economies. And Afri-Exim Bank, which is import-export oriented, tries to facilitate, you know, the imports and exports discussion across the African continent.
Yeah.
And also primarily to help facilitate that AFCFTA discussion. But these, okay, I read just the first document, the original one, the 1987 one, because the 2006 one, the language was more like, the first sort of like motivational part was expanded to East, South, and North Africa. So it does a provision of let's expand southwards, let's encapsulate the whole of East Africa, and mm-hmm. let's expand into North Africa, because a lot of the trade channels runs past, what's the country's name? Kenya? Into the Suez Canal.
And yeah, because Kenya is in the eastern part of Africa.
Yeah. Exactly. And Kenya is literally also a particular linkage of East Africa to Asia. And any traffic obviously coming from the Mediterranean trade routes mm-hmm. will flow through the Suez Canal and will flow past Kenya,
mm-hmm.
which also includes Somalia with its problematic guys that, you know, look at cargo ships as generational wealth contributing factors. But we won't go into that scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Kenyan or East African discussion sets in motion then a particular scenario of how you need to look at this agency. Because I'm assuming our conversation of yesterday, the IMO, the International Maritime Organization,
yeah.
Namibia is automatically affiliated to the organization.
Yeah.
Why? Because
we are UN member state.
Yes, and because the whole Green Port initiative that NAMPORT signed yesterday is a project or a brainchild of the Korean government in collaboration with the International Maritime Organization. So the only way potentially you can in many cases just benefit from such large-scale planning regarding a global perspective and a global developmental initiative is obviously if you're a member of the foundational elements in the UN.
Mm-hmm.
So you can already see that. And the IMO and the AU is already like also part of the IMO. So Namibia automatically has some avenues in, you know, in terms of participation and membership scenarios. However, ISCOS is weird. I say it primarily because ISCOS doesn't factor in South Africa. It doesn't factor in Angola that's going to have the Lobito Corridor that will benefit Zambia. And Zambia is a founding member of ISCOS,
yeah.
This ISCOS situation. And yeah, and it starts off from that particular scenario in terms of looking at, okay, so how does this benefit a country that's on Southwest African coastline? How does it benefit Namibia in this regard? Because I can tell you directly, Helmut, Namibia is already benefiting from the overall, the global gateway strategy that the EU is obviously deriving. Namibia is already benefiting specifically in the aspects of, you know, if you look at anything regarding the IMO of what we spoke yesterday about, the future of fuels. But take the future of fuels and look at the green strategy that the IMO laid out in 2019 or 2023. that strategy literally speaks to what Namibia already is, has subscribed to regarding green industrial revolution or green industrialization, which is a manifestation of the hydrogen and ammonia developments, obviously green hydrogen and green ammonia developments. But Iskos, why?
Here's one question. Iskos is about shipping, and we are talking cargo ship, I'm assuming, for the most part.
True.
Yeah.
Or even, you're right. Yeah, cargo shipping, yeah.
I have so many questions. Question one, what the heck are we planning on shipping? Question two, you have to produce something to ship it.
True.
Yeah, because the whole ISCOS idea is a very brilliant idea because Africa's participation in maritime activities would be part of the continent's developmental initiative. We are already looking into air travel, rail travel, car travel, and all those things. So it's only reasonable for us to participate also in maritime travel, which is a good thing. But the thing is,
But remember, that's traveling.
Yeah.
Shipping is not travel. Shipping is not travel. And I don't want to
actually,
make...
Actually, it's very funny when you think of it that way.
Yeah, shipping is not traveling.
I'm making it look like is traveling on a vacation somewhere.
Or passengers are stowaways on a cargo ship.
In cold storage. That's mean.
which it is cold storage, by the way. But yeah.
Yeah. So... That's where I'm starting to think of it from
that perspective.
Yes, we can venture into shipping. Excellent. But what are we shipping?
True.
Yeah, that's one. And the second one being, if you have an initiative that does not factor in the continent's biggest economies, I have also a lot of questions because I don't see South Africa, Nigeria, Angola on the list, which also...
Even Madagascar, man, Helmut, come on. If we even look at this East African situation, Madagascar, which is an island nation, it's a pretty sizable island in the Indian Ocean realm of the shipping lanes, because obviously Madagascar is a favored sort of like connecting point. If you even look at the shipping lane, probably that would come from Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah.
Even though it might be, pretty small and tiny. But still, there still is an avenue because the actual shipping lane runs past India, past, what's the guys that were bombed last year? Iran. Past the Gulf of Aden, Iran, Iraq, UAE, Kuwait, past Saudi Arabia, that whole landmass. And then it splits up literally as you get into, what's that gulf name? The gulf here that leads you into the Suez Canal. What's that gulf name? The one that divorces, just before you get the Suez Canal?
Is the side of the Red Sea.
No, sorry, this is Gulf of Aden. Which one is the Red Sea? Red Sea is the one at Iran, Iraq.
Eritrea side.
Or is Red Sea Eritrea side?
Yeah.
Eritrea and Egypt side.
That would be a Red Sea.
Okay, yeah. So Gulf of Aden is there with Iran, Iraq. Red Sea is here with Somalia, Eritrea, Sudan, and Egypt. Now it literally branches literally at that mouth where you see the Red Sea. It branches there because then it flows down the East African coast past. It will definitely come past Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely flow past the generational wealth get rich quick schemes from the Somali pirates. And it'll flow past Tanzania, which also has a coastline, then Mozambique, then you will find Madagascar, then you'll find South Africa, and then you obviously come up the West African coast if you sail around South Africa. Now, it's a pretty long stretch. It's a pretty long distance when you look at it. But here's the thing. Africa obviously wants to connect a lot more with both Asia, Europe, and still maintain its connections alongside eastern African coastlines of the continent. And Africa obviously wants to build shipping lane developments or shipping lane accessibility to Mercosur, here to Brazil, Argentina, and the likes. Now, here's the concern again, Helmut. And this is now where I position the concern itself. Like you said, we don't see Angola. We don't see South Africa. We don't see Madagascar, we don't even see the small island nations on the other side of Madagascar. Mauritius, Seychelles, who is the other one? Mauritius, Seychelles. There's another island somewhere. But anyway, and how these, you know, how this particular initiative plays a role in terms of uplifting Southern African, sort of like Southern African development goals. Because just to branch out,
yeah,
SADC's particular main goal is to become economically integrated. The founding members of ISCOS is an East African country, Kenya,
yeah,
Tanzania, Zambia. There's someone else I'm missing.
Isn't Ghana there?
No, Ghana is not there. There's no West African country there. Tanzania, Kenya, Zambia, and there's a fourth country. But they're mostly East African inclined, even though Zambia is pretty close to the West African coastline.
Yeah, not Ghana, sorry, it's Uganda.
Yeah, Uganda. Wow, Museveni's country.
But okay. We've been busy.
Okay. But Uganda in this scenario technically is East African aligned.
Yeah.
In this scenario. Interesting also enough, Hamut, why also didn't they approach Rwanda?
Oh, yeah.
Because Rwanda and Uganda have pretty close ties.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, diplomatic relations and so on. So why didn't they also, and because Rwanda also, also has good relations with Tanzania, because Tanzania's to its east. So why didn't they also bring in, Rwanda in that regard, and also Burundi, because they are landlocked countries. I'm mentioning two extra landlocked countries alongside Zambia and Uganda. We won't know because the documentation and stuff on the website is like very, very, very minimal.
Yeah.
Why do I say it's minimal, guys? Just to let you know the first time so that Helmut and I could understand where is ISCOS coming from. They paid a visit to the minister last year, to Minister Nekundi last year, and it just says they came to sort of like touch base with Minister Nekundi. That's all it says. It's a one-line situation. Just as I'm saying it to you, okay, I probably changed the words and summarized the summary even further, but that's literally the visit. It was pretty short.
Look, like I said earlier, really appreciate the whole idea of participating into shipping.
Yeah.
Excellent idea. But this is not just a problem for, a problem that I, an issue that I see with Namibia, but it's just the whole continent. Again, for the millionth time, we are heavily reliant on the extractive industry. And we are heavily reliant on the extractive industry as in more shipping out raw material. And I know that, every country now, including those on the African continent, since the early 2000s, we started having conversation around, value addition and manufacturing things at home, which is a noble move.
Hmm.
Yeah. But the practical reality of those words are yet to be seen in a lot of countries. We are still, again, heavily reliant on the extractive industry, which is already having, people that, it's like the logistics on how it flows out of the continent, from how it moves from the ground to where it's made into a finished product. Looking at them and going, they're already in place. Now, I think Kenya is the biggest producer, I think, of, Kenya is the biggest producer, I think, of caramel.
Mm.
And, not Ethiopia, Madagascar is the biggest producer of vanilla.
Mm.
And, Ivory Coast and Ghana are the biggest producers of cocoa that basically makes your chocolate world go round.
Even though they don't have large chocolate consuming markets.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they produce most of the chocolate in the world. Most of the cocoa.
We have all this, we have a lot of the resources.
Yeah.
We have a lot of these resources, but none of these guys actually produce. There are very few, if any, of these guys actually turn the resources that they have into finished products.
Yeah.
You have if you look at the two countries that produce the most cocoa that basically feeds the global chocolate industry, Ghana and Ivory Coast, but the biggest producers of chocolate globally, None of them are on the African continent. West is Mass American or Swiss. And you have your Nestle. Again, now, if you just walk in, have you seen the price on dark chocolate?
Yeah.
Holy cow, I'm looking at that thing and going like, I must really love it, but not today.
It's not just that chocolate. Né? It's also if you've seen the chocolate that was at one stage. Do you remember the chocolate that showed up here with the Arabic names in the supermarkets?
No, I think I still see a few of those.
No, they are still there.
Yeah.
The if we can call them the dark chocolate variants.
Yeah, yeah.
Which technically means they're not dark chocolate. That's the actual.
That's the actual
the
chocolate,
product,
basically.
You know, after being cooked and smelted down and all that, and then the wafer being put in.
Yeah. It's it doesn't they basically don't put in like as much, you know, they don't add in a lot of sugar and milk compared to what is
to the milk chocolate we eat. Yeah.
Yeah, the one that we eat on African. Apparently they are the health variant, but
the health
yeah, apparently they are dark chocolate are the health variant, like well it nah, it doesn't taste like chocolate.
yeah, no. That business, like, look, that thing is not even sweet.
I'm like, I want to be healthy, but nah.
But yeah, so when you even look at that particular scenario, that was obviously, and this is now a manifestation, obviously, of trade across many, many countries that results in the commercial activities or the commercial relationships being developed. What do I mean? When I mentioned those specific chocolates the year that have the Arabic text on them, which you can see they come from a country that
Middle Eastern countries.
Yeah.
One most, that uses Arabic.
Or that has to distribute in those vicinities. That means there are distributors that are trying to access more markets.
Yeah.
So that means, for example, how that chocolate ends up here in Namibia is that the suppliers actually could penetrate the Namibian Southern African market and also put their chocolate on the shelves, usually at a better price than what they are distributed from South Africa, but they anyway do come through South Africa.
Yeah.
Now, how did that chocolate get here? You know, we've had this conversation since yesterday. How did that chocolate get here? It definitely did not fly. It definitely did not come by rail, and it definitely did not drive all the way from, let's imagine the route, Helmut, from Riyadh in Saudi Arabia to South Africa and into Namibia. It didn't drive that far. It came by boat. It literally came by boat. It's the same also with, have you seen the Brazilian cornflakes?
One more time.
Have you seen the Brazilian cornflakes?
I'm not really into cereals.
Nacional. It's a sky blue packaging.
Oh.
There's only one shop that distributes. It's a retailer.
I've seen sky blue cornflakes.
Yeah. Sky blue colored packaging.
The packaging, yeah.
And it instead of writing the national, it uses the Portuguese pronunciation.
The national language.
Nacional. However, when you read on the backside, it's actually Portuguese owned Brazilian cornflakes.
Nacional.
Yeah. And the company's like almost 200 years old.
Nacional.
Yeah, the company that owns them.
What does it say after Nacional?
Just Nacional.
Cornflakes?
Just National Cornflakes. Almost. That's it. Just National Cornflakes. Nothing more, nothing less. I almost said Nacional. So, how did those cornflakes also get here?
Shipping.
Definitely. Remember the issue on the imported Brazilian chicken? That was a big story here in the 2000s. Namibians were eating chicken that was coming from Brazil through South Africa to Namibia.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Mercosur wants to expand because Mercosur has a lot of agricultural produce to sell. So, once again, we're looking at the discussion of what do these particular discussions actually translate to Namibia?
Here's the thing. That's actually where I started with. To ship something, you must make something. Now, let's look at our manufacturing ability now, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. Peugeot, Ndangwa Tannery, not doing very well.
Still working on a volunteer basis? Volunteers who own the inputs?
Leave those volunteers. They're the ones that will control our shipping lanes, dude. Now,
no, man, that's still the best line that I've ever. I still remember that report. Oh no, nobody knows who works here, but all the people that are there are volunteers who own all the leather pelts, all the cattle pelts, the skins.
There's immortal cowhide.
Owning all the cowhide sitting there. But no one knows whose cowhide is in the antiseptic tank.
That one we don't know. This one is ours. And by the way, when you visited last year, remember the fresh cowhide that you found last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the one that's still fresh today.
It's still the one sitting in the fridge.
I'm looking at our manufacturing. I'm going like, maybe we'll develop, you know, them concurrent to one another.
Mm.
But also, if you go back to yesterday's discussion and factor in CBAM, and then you look at our relationship with the EU, then that means if we are going to venture into shipping, which energy source to fuel this this industry that we are that we're gonna pick? Are we going to go with fossil fuel, or we're just going to go straight into the transition, like into the biomass, form of energy? Because if we go straight into the into the fossil fuel, we're gonna have some serious issues with one of our biggest market, and that's the EU.
Mm.
Because the CBAM, by the time that we have all this, we implement this, 2100, I assume, the CBAM would have been in effect for...
2100, Helmut? My goodness, 70 years from now.
We have a cybersecurity bill.
Oh, yeah, that has been taking...
That predates dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Now.
More than 10 years.
Yeah, that's a bill. Now, think industry.
Oh, we've got a task force functioning on a bill. Let me just say that as well.
Yeah. So, it gets worse. It gets worse. Let's now look at agriculture. We just covered the Natural Resources Standing Committee reports on green schemes. What do you say about the Kalimbeza rice project? The harvest was, I came up with a new English word, bumperous, except the machines to process them are broken.
I would bumper us?
I heard someone say bumper harvest. I just added on the RAS and then new English word invented. Now,
I mean, we should stop speaking English.
We didn't ask for it.
Yeah, we didn't ask
for it. No, we didn't. Yeah, so, for me, the adoption, or more like participating in this initiative of joining into the shipping industry, it's not a bad idea.
Mm.
It's a very good one. But the question I keep asking myself is, what are we planning on shipping and to where? And the shipping industry is going under energy evolution, like we just talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
We also have to consider what mode of energy, fuel are we planning on using. And the last time I checked the shipyards,
look,
institution, if you look at it, when it started, it was more of an advisory and mostly to just, member states.
Yeah.
They didn't engage much with the private sector.
Yeah.
It wasn't until, when was it, 2006?
Yeah. In the second document.
Exactly.
The one where it now tries to expand into Southern Africa and North Africa.
Yeah.
And further cement into East Africa. But it sounds more like that East Africa wants to be this anchor for African shipping.
They have strategic location to their advantage.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But so too Durban can also have it. So too Walvis Bay can also have it. So too what's the two Angolan coastal harbors or ports, Lobito being one. Because the Lobito corridor, which is named after, is because that's where the whole transport corridor will end, is in the coastal or harbor town of Lobito. I still don't know. Okay, Mombasa obviously had that investment from the Chinese government as well.
Yeah.
The port facility of Mombasa. And it obviously was also like 2 years back after COVID, it became that whole sort of like mis and disinformation thing that was happening on the internet. There was a whole bunch of Africans showing up here on YouTube talking about, the Chinese are owning Mombasa port. But nowhere did I see that literally a whole diplomatic thing was falling out I don't know if you remember that noise that was happening on the internet about the Chinese owning a port facility in Kenya.
Look, every time I run into discussions like those, the first question I ask is, are they doing it illegally?
Who?
Or did someone give them, did they follow the proper channel to owning that piece of property? Because if they followed the proper channel, they went through the right ministries, then if you want to blame someone, if you're not happy with the, with them acquiring that, you know, acquiring the facility, blame the minister.
Exactly. But since we didn't hear anything major out of Kenya about, oh no, look, we're handing over the port facility to our development partner, China, to manage and run. I mean, then why are we complaining about Kenya? Because that's Kenya's own actions. It's Kenya's infrastructure. And also to look at this as a, as an African-wide sort of like situation and being like, what's the word? Frightened or scared or now having to jump in some sort of emergency mode regarding, you know, the ambitions of China in Africa. I mean, we've had the Chinese ambassador here as well. We've obviously seen that our presidents, all of them flew to Beijing 2 years back in, was it 2024? For the forum on China-Africa Cooperation, or was it last year?
No, I think that was 2024.
That was 2024, yeah, with President Bumba. So they went there, they agreed on the next level of engagement between China and Africa, and things are kicking off. From there, well, things were kicking off with the Belt and Road Initiative, which is still the overarching initiative. Yeah, I had to listen to how to pronounce that word. However, things are heading in one direction.
Look, when it comes to this country is just taking advantage of us, they are doing this and that. Now, we had this. There was this massive chaos that was going on social media regarding the main crossing point of of animals in parts of Kenya where they have this migration, you know, great migration heads.
Yeah,
the Ritz-Carlton Hotel guys actually built a new facility there, and some tourists now kept disrupting this migration of these animals because they kept chasing some of them to go back. So a lot of people were saying, well, why would they build a facility at the main crossing part of tourists around the world summer, I think September, October, all through to November, to November, December, they like to go there to actually watch all these heads of animals, cross over from Kenya to, from the side of Marmara in Kenya to the side of Serengeti in Tanzania.
Yeah.
Now, even a lot of tourists basically took to social media and started complaining about this, but a lot of Africans started going, some of them started going, this is neo-colonialism. Okay, you have to understand that that's a portion of land. Someone gave them a permit to build that. Now, if you have to blame someone, don't blame them. Blame the person that gave them the permit.
Exactly.
Someone gave them the permit.
Exactly.
Go back to your representatives.
Someone flew to, obviously, let's say, to Beijing to participate in the forum on China, on China-Africa Cooperation.
Uh-huh.
Someone obviously flew to Berlin. No, was it Berlin? No, it was Hamburg for the, after the what was the thing's name? The Forum of the Future discussion in 2024.
Yeah.
Someone flew to New York to attend the annual UN General Assembly engagements.
Yeah.
So yes, every time we've got someone flying somewhere, pretty public as well, because we get to know about it. You as well, our dear listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, people go sign.
Now, if you can go back to one of, Yanis Varoufakis' discussion on, on his very brief time back, was that back in 2011 when he was just for less than a year, the finance minister of Greece.
Mm.
What example did he tell about his about the agreements that his predecessor signed with one Chinese based company on how that company was operating their main port? Is it Piraeus?
Yeah.
Yeah. he found a lot of things that, you know, that he was not satisfied with you know, with his predecessor's agreements with this specific company. He hopped on a plane, went to Beijing, sat down with them, and they renegotiated the agreement. What did they say?
They said, yes, we're cool with it.
Now, if someone like that is taking advantage of you, it's your inability to negotiate.
Or you just don't want to negotiate, or renegotiate, or reapproach. I mean, okay, I also did this slightly earlier before I stepped in.
Yeah.
Someone was parking in front of on our spaces, and I asked the person, hey, listen, next time could you park next door? You know, that's where you need to park. This is for us.
Oh, the swimming guys.
Hey, why are you identifying people as you saw? But anyway, yeah. So one of the reasons as to, you know, my late entry into the studio as well.
Yeah, one friend of mine, you know, asked me to start taking, you know, swimming lessons. I'm like, huh?
In a dry country.
I'm like,
I still ask that initiative, you know.
Swimming lessons.
Even my own siblings ask me, yeah, why? Well, how is it possible that you don't know how to swim? And then I respond back with the logic. Look.
In a dry country.
In a dry country, why would you need swimming lessons for?
My friend just forgot that I actually learned how to swim in a crocodile, fish, hippo, everything infested. Dangerous, infested,
yeah.
High current flowing water. So swimming pool, believe me, is the least of my worry. Now, coming back to this whole non-swimming part of the discussion. Shipping, really? Of all things.
Look, according to the other organization, Moesna, M-O-E-S-N.
Yeah, that one is, there are a lot of information on that.
Yeah, because that one more expands on the idea behind ISCOS. If you guys did not know, ISCOS does not have its own website even. So we had to learn through two other channels, which makes things a little bit dodgy, primarily because it seems that ISCOS is still in development.
Here's the thing. On the Moesna website, find something awesome that you hit. 2024.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Now, if you just, if you start from the top, it starts from 1987, Moss.
Yeah.
Read like two main parts. Actually three. 1967, 2006, and 2024. 1967, inception, Maritime Organization of Eastern, Southern, and Northern Africa, Moesna, traces its origin to 1967 when the government of Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and Zambia established the Intergovernmental Standing Committee on Shipping. That's ISCOS.
Mm.
Yeah, then it goes on to say that the aim was to address the negative impact and unregulated maritime freight cost and provide technical advice to member states on ocean-based shipping and maritime matters, which is a very good idea because if you look at it, there are a lot of African countries that are landlocked. So having something that have to do with that's continent based, that have to do with with cargo freight,
yeah,
on a continental level, that's a brilliant idea because now you get to factor in how do we help our neighbors that don't have that don't have sea access, then you now begin to avoid the Somalia Ethiopia situation, where the seat of the African Union went on to negotiate with a country that was not recognized by the African Union to give them port access.
Was that now Eritrea?
Somaliland. And Ethiopia. And the Somalians were not happy.
Somaliland doesn't even exist in UN. It's not even a UN member state. It's not even a state.
No.
Even though they've been trying to get state recognition,
they have for a very long time.
Yeah. But the UN has ignored them. The AU has ignored them. And it's only a handful of few countries that recognize them in one or other capacity.
Yeah.
So even then, it makes things complicated because Somalia wants to own Somaliland. Somaliland says, hello, you're the ones with all the land, with all the warlords. You even have the warlords in your government. So stay where you are. We wish to be peaceful and self-determining and be independent in our right.
Just be lucky that you are only having to complain about corruption. Others are complaining about warlords. Now, look.
Look at South Sudan. Eh?
If you can just take the last part of that, the last sentence of that of the 1967 part, the aim of the establishment of ISCOS. From the look of things, from the look of things, the indication from the description in 1967 is that Moesna came out of ISCOS.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in 2006, you find that transformation of mandate, that's what I pointed out earlier, that in the beginning, they were more like a consulting firm, where they were just advising member states of East Coast on how to navigate the shipping world.
Mm.
Yeah. And in 2006, they decided to expand their mandate. Now, 2024... rebranding to Moesna. At the third meeting of the ministers responsible for shipping and maritime affairs of the state in eastern, southern, and northern Africa, that's the abbreviation behind Moesna.
Mm.
Including in Indian Ocean states held in Nairobi, Kenya, the new name of the organization, Marine Organization for Eastern, Southern, and Northern Africa. Was officially launched. Moesna embodies a commitment to member states linked through the Western Indian Ocean, Southern Atlantic, Red Sea, to tackle their complex maritime challenges collaboratively. You want to collaborate in a way that you are doing it. Because,
here's the concern. What do they want to collaborate on? Disputes in shipping. With who?
With themselves.
Because apparently it had been, there's only a very small explainer being given that you'll also find on the Moesna website.
Mm-hmm.
ISCOS came into being because of African countries that have coastlines,
mm-hmm,
had international shipping disputes. But here's the thing. What shipping disputes did we get into?
Okay, now back to 1967.
Yeah.
The aim behind the aim was to address the negative impact of unregulated maritime freight costs. Picture Havana four-way month end. From the look of things, what was going on. I'm never going to Havana again, am I? That, from the look of things, is what was going on in the, in the maritime of, maritime world of the African continent in terms of cargo transport. So they wanted some order to that. So they came together, at least those that came together, that's Kenya, Tanzania, and Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and Zambia, to bring an order to it.
That sounds fishy, but that sounds too shallow.
Very.
Because then you can just go and stand there at Balfour's Bay Port or mm-hmm at Lüderitz Port, and you can literally say, all these boats sitting here, I see it as being chaotic, as being messy shipping, as being, what's the other word? Unorganized shipping. Because that's the terminology that it translates to. They're not coming in single file, like we were herded as such on school, walking single file, only one channel going up, one channel coming down the stairwells,
yeah,
no running in the halls, don't do this. It sounds pretty school-ish, kindergarten-ish.
Now, let me take you back to last year, July. When General Mkhwanazi gave his press conference about
the famous Sunday
that's still my favorite.
I love that thing because now it shows what his boss looks like today.
My favorite in that whole thing was Becky Kele. Bro was cooking and spilling the bills.
No, apparently you should see General Sibiya. The homeboy can't. What's your
difference? Sibiya was the worst. Have you seen the video of that guy? But anyway, in his press conference, General Mkhwanazi pointed out that at the port of Durban, that's the one that he used as an example. This is a port that's seeing thousands of ship per day, and they only have two scanners.
Heesh.
No one knows what these are his words. No one knows what these other ships are carrying. They could be, even, and I'm paraphrasing here, and he even says, they could be trafficking children who would never know.
Yeah.
Two scanners for one of your main ports.
For a major international port in Africa.
That's intentional.
No, it is. Well, it obviously also helps to explain the one article I saw from South Africa where the people would fix the railway line just to break it during the night, the same contractor,
so they can come
and come back, and then they motivate. You see, it was broken. Let's fix it again. So the infrastructure literally is purposefully kept at its level. But obviously, you also have to understand South Africa is a little bit wonky when you look at what's happening there. But
yeah,
but it's like you're motivated.
Yeah.
You know what? Because here's the thing, Helmut. I would like to see, past the documentation that was supplied, what does East Coast provide us? Because I attended that thing between Namport, and like I said, we will still talk about Namport and the engagement with the government of South Korea in situation of yesterday. But that discussion from Namport, and even Namport's particular relationship, for example, in the global green energy development for shipping, which we factors into the IMO discussion, by the way, you can clearly see what is Namport's particular position in terms of championing and being an avenue for resource transportation, resource storage on you know, in the harbor facility, resource transportation out of it, because it's the kind of vessels that obviously can come into the harbor. And also to let you know, and for any listeners that have never seen Walvis Bay before, it's pretty difficult for those ships to get in. Walvis Bay is a shallow harbor, Helmut. It's just got the lagoon.
Yeah.
So if people don't know what a lagoon technically is, if you Google search lagoon, it does this moon-shaped,
Okay, so it forms some kind of a cave.
Yeah. Now, the lighthouse is here where my right hand is.
Yeah.
This is literally sort of like the other outcropping feature, or you can call it like these two arms.
Yeah.
Cropping out from the mainland. And historically, if you understand what Walvis Bay was, if you translate it, it's Whale Bay. Walvis Bay was literally a breeding ground for whales. Now, obviously, knowing what the Europeans did, because the Europeans were the only ones hunting whales, besides the Japanese and besides other particular peoples around the world. But the Europeans were the one that went pretty far to go and hunt whales.
This is the time when they were using its oil as a fuel.
Yeah, and its blubber for other particular industrial uses, and obviously whale meat was for another particular use, and so on and so forth. So, Walvis Bay was actually a preferred breeding spot for specific whale species back then, and I'm talking about in the 1800s. Now, if we're talking about joining East Coast in one or other capacity or function, East Coast tries to champion improved shipping to some extent, and also contractual negotiations. I don't know for who.
Yeah, for member states?
Because it gets back to you, to your particular point, Helmut, that you highlighted. If you are participating in shipping, that means you must have shipbuilding capacity. There must be a company in Namibia, a Namibian company that builds ships. That's a shipwright. Technically, that's the word. It's a shipwright that builds ships, shipwrighting, or they're a shipwright. And that from that particular avenue, you are actually participating, because the international shipbuilding shipbuilding companies, the Maersks, what's that other one's name? The Greeks are pretty huge in it.
Oh, yeah.
The countries that dominate the international shipping realm are American, Chinese, Russian, the Middle Eastern countries, because of the oil and natural gas that they are transporting, or the variants of gas that they are transporting. And even if you include the countries that are huge fish consumption countries like Spain, Portugal, Japan, China, the whole of Southeast Asia, Northern Europe, which includes the Scandinavian countries. I mean, those guys have like frequent activity in terms of the designated shipping lanes that exist in these geographic locations that I just referenced. So now, here is once again the crux of the question, which is your question.
Mm-hmm.
Does this engagement somehow lead to improved shipping experience? Well, I mean, what is it? Are we joining this for to just get discounts at the cashier or at the register? You know, when we check out our groceries, what are we doing here?
Well, we want to maintain order on the, you know, on the things that we want to ship.
To maintain order.
Yep.
This is not a Southern African military intervention.
Well, that's what they explain here. The aim was to address the negative impact of unregulated maritime freight. Maybe, you know, everyone was just putting stuff on a ship and then just taking their own direction. And at sea, you need some kind of, the sea is somewhat, sea travel is somewhat like air travel. It's always important to know which ship is where and when. You want them to constantly communicate, otherwise, well, they will, you know, go Titanic on each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, and I'm just thinking here, maybe that's what they meant here by, they mean here by address the negative impact of unregulated maritime travel. I mean, unregulated maritime freight.
Yeah.
And then now they're talking about that in mostly in terms of costs. Yeah, maybe, you know, just different shipping guys were just charging their whole different price, and there was no like a unified body that, you know, that came up with a fixed way of doing things from cost to, you know, to costs of taking when you are coming in or when you are going out, wherever, you know, whatever port that you are docking or getting away from.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, that's all coming from one sentence.
Yeah.
Now, and from the look of things, you have, the membership seems to be growing because, if you go to the, 2003 to 2006, that's where we are today. One thing that you see is it turns out, Ethiopia is one of those countries that is now a member. And so, in line with the commitment, to collaboration, regional states are at various levels at formalizing their membership to MOESNA with the Democratic Republic of Congo, Federal Democratic Republic of Ethiopia, and you have Burundi, you have Botswana, you have Malawi, you have Mozambique, having so far completed their process and joined the state of Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and Zambia in membership. So these guys are already members. Botswana is already a member.
Yeah.
Mm. Maybe that's what we are looking at and going like, I mean, Botswana did it. Why can't we did it? Now... Well, we can also did it if Botswana did it.
But I mean, once again, there's nothing wrong with just, you know, having membership wherever you go.
Yeah.
You know, just to say, okay, I visited. Okay, I'm not going to use Namibian references. Okay, since I visited Okahanga, now I've got an Okahanga sort of like membership happening there.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow I drive to Witvlei. Now I've been to Witvlei. I've also have a Witvlei membership. I drive to Groot-Dorp. I also have a Groot-Dorp membership right there. Now, the question that I keep asking, Helmut, is what does this additional membership situations do? Because in many cases, you sometimes don't know which organization overlaps with which. Why? Let me throw this particular development that happened before President Nandi Ndaitwah became President Nandi Ndaitwah when she was still Minister of International Relations back in 2023. So what happened in 2023? Namibia had to sign the, what was that agreement's name? The Samoa Agreement. Namibia had to sign the Samoa Agreement. Then in local print media, it popped up that, the International Relations Ministry under, when President Nandi Ndaitwah was still the minister, under her and her ministry's officials' advice, is that the Samoa Agreement somehow goes against the Constitution of Namibia.
Is that the one that we were reluctant to sign at
first? It's that one where we sent the previous, what was the guy's name? The previous Director General of the National Planning Commission to Samoa to go and sign the agreement. But there was this sort of like standoff that occurred between, you know, the legal advice, because the International Relations Ministry and what was the, and I think it was the Attorney General of the government, because the Attorney General has to review any contractual obligations.
That's your legal advice, basically.
Yeah, basically for the whole of government. The two of them were literally telling technically the presidency and the National Planning Commission, because the National Planning Commission advises the presidency and cabinet, were telling the two of them, listen, guys, this Samoa agreement just doesn't, it just doesn't sit well with the Namibian constitution and with how Namibia approaches international developmental agreements. And then what happens? The two of them get overridden. Or, you know, what's that thing that sometimes happens? You know, their advice gets put one side, and then the NPC, National Planning Commission, was said, fly off to Samoa and
sort this out
and go sign. Just go sign. Because if we didn't sign, we wouldn't have access to, as Namibia, with Namibia's particular saying yes to the green hydrogen developments in the country, Namibia would not have access to all the particular financing and funding that would take place, which also includes the event I came from earlier today, which many of our listeners would also, and our followers would have seen on our social media, the particular NCRSD event, where there was an announcement of all the funding in euros that would happen. And this is still under the Global Gateway. So let me explain it this way. So Europe opens up all these particular avenues to strengthen its partnership with Africa. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Now, at the heart of this particular discussion, which is referring back to our Italy-Africa summit discussion we had back in last year or 2024?
I think that was in 2024.
In 2024.
Because I think that, that event took place somewhere in January.
Literally the day after, January, I think after the first, you know, like after New Year's Eve or New Year's Day celebrations, it literally took place like 2 or 3 days after that.
Yeah, that's when, you know, a cheetah went to a hyena to tell a hyena to stop eating other animals.
And the cheetah was just like, you know what?
Cheetah was like, look who's talking.
Look who's talking. You know I'm the fastest one. Why are you telling me to stop eating the other animals? Just because you can't run them. But anyway.
Yeah.
So in that regard, the discussion that you've got to look at, dear listeners, is a perspective of, okay, so how does this play into the grander scheme? Because Namibia gets a lot more benefit out of dealing directly with large economic role players in the world, which is South Africa, which is Europe, which is China, to a very small extent to the United States, because the United States' role in Namibia, that's, you know, prior to Donald Trump's inauguration back last year, was that the U.S. played a major role in combating various health issues, meaning we had access to funding and financing to help strengthen our primary health care service through the Ministry of Health. However, that has now completely fallen away. Now Namibia has to do its own combating against HIV AIDS and related particular disease prevention activities. So now Europe is now looking like preferred. Not preferred, it's weird, they're already preferred role player. China is also busy playing a significant role as well, you know, ramping up their efforts as well. And obviously, we still have the salient but very strong presence of South Africa in our economy. Just putting it there. Now, I got to ask the question again, Helmut, and I still can't jump past this point, and I know you've answered it.
Yeah.
I know you've pointed out to the other Southern African colleagues and East African colleagues and North African colleagues that have joined this Moesna entity,
yeah,
which is the entity that is founded by the ISCOS, sort of like starting or foundational documents. Still, I don't see the point of it. I really don't see the point of it. It's like Namibia being in COSAFA. for example. Because COSAFA is not FIFA, it's not FIFA and CAF. Okay, it is recognized by CAF, but the COSAFA matches are not recognized by FIFA. So meaning, if you played for Namibia in COSAFA, you did not get a cap because it was not a FIFA sanctioned match or an engagement. It is recognized by CAF for its developmental approach, meaning the entity or that the national team at that stage is considered like a developmental national team because it's about giving exposure to new players to play for the national team, and said new players need to learn the ropes of playing international football for Namibia. Now, it's the exact same thinking that you can apply literally to this ISCOS situation. What are we going to do there? Because I still don't understand the particular engagement. And even for the minister to say, 2 weeks back, hey guys, I am submitting this suggestion for us to start talking about, without motivating, what are we doing here?
I'm looking at it from the angle of we still want to participate in the business of shipping as a country.
Yeah,
that's why I started asking the question of looking, considering the state of Ndangwa tannery, Nkurunkuru textile factory, and the late Peugeot. When I'm looking at all these things, that's why I asked myself, yes, it's a brilliant idea participating in shipping. What are we planning on shipping? And this is not just Namibia; it's the whole continent. Mm. Because I keep coming back to our heavy reliance on the extractive industry, and this extractive industry already have a flow chart of how it moves from the ground where the stone is taken to its processed in a finished product.
Yeah,
we already have that established.
Yeah,
now, as to the reasons behind, I can think of a few. The Europeans have a European maritime safety, European maritime safety. Now, this is an organization, and now you have, an organization that you can say it's somewhat similar to, to Moesna. And, Asia has their own, let me just see if I can get the names right. Now, you have the original cooperation agreement on combating piracy and armed robbery. I think this somewhat serves somewhat a similar purpose.
Yeah.
For the most part, at high seas, a lot of things take place.
Yeah.
So, I went through that. I'm like, they're still pirates?
Yeah, they are still pirates.
I thought that died in the 1800s. It turns out no. No. Yeah. So you have the Maritime Organization for Western Central Africa. Now you have, MOSA, that's for Western Central, but MOESA focus mostly in Eastern and Central and South for the most part.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the idea from the look of things is the same, to ensure the safety of your cargo transport. Because sometimes ships take months to get to their destination.
Mm.
And sometimes it's not unheard of to run into bad actors.
Well, the bad actors are still there. I mean, the ghost fleets.
Those are like a ship without a transponder or something.
No, the ships that fly different colors, they say they are from this country, but they're actually Russian owned, or they are Iranian, or they are Venezuelan. Like remember the 4 ships that were confiscated by the Americans?
Yeah.
Before they 3 January'd Maduro?
Where are they coming from?
Remember the 4 ships?
Yeah.
Ne?
Yeah.
Now.
The one who Trump said, oh, I will take the oil and we'll sell the oil.
Exactly. Those 4 ships. Yeah. Those 4 ships. Now, remember that there were 2 ships just in December that were confiscated before 3 January.
Yeah.
Now, the dispute apparently popped up that the last ship, or the last 2 ships, because they were confiscated a day apart from each other, was that they were supposedly Russian.
Government playing piracy. I loved that part.
No, but it's an old trick, Helmut.
Yeah.
Remember, that's why when we developed yesterday's discussion of the IMO talk, Future Fuels, where I told you, how did the IMO come into existence? The IMO came into existence because of the largest shipping and sailing and seafaring nations in the world, which are all Northern Hemisphere, by the way, were the guys that were the founding members of the IMO. They're not older than the ITU.
Yeah.
The IMO just existed separate at one stage from the ITU. The ITU is sort of like, which is considered the oldest UN agency. It's just that the ITU and the IMO are slightly different in the scenarios. But yeah, before we continue, guys, we'll quickly take some live reads.
Get your kicks from ShopRite Liquor Shops, Smirnoff 1818 Original Vodka for only 159 and Namibian dollars. You know, the sarcasm in me never stops, but I'll tell you later. Get your kicks from ShopRite Liquor Shops, Smirnoff 1818 Original Vodka for only 159 Namibian dollars and 99 cents. Harrier's Whiskey and Gordon Dry Gin for only 179 Namibian dollars and 99 cents each. KWV 3-year-old brandy for 199 Namibian dollars and 99 cents each. Richelieu brandy for 189 Namibian dollars and 99 cents. And J&B Scotch whiskey for just 239 Namibian dollars and 99 cents. Please don't drink and drive. ShopRite Liquor Shops care. Now, what I'm thinking about here is the guys that developed the International Maritime Organization regulations. These are the guys that went halfway across the world. The Portuguese came to Africa. The Spanish went to, the Spanish went to modern day Americas. And, the British went pretty much everywhere. And they stole something they wanted to ship to their countries, but they did not want someone else to steal what they just stole.
Mm.
So they came up with regulations to ensure that once it's stolen, it cannot be restolen again. That sounds like the British Museum.
Or you can't give it back and say, okay, now give it back to me.
No, no, no.
I will hold on to it for you. Well, that's technically what they also told much of the Africans regarding, especially Egypt. Yeah, we do a better job of looking after it on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But we look after it.
You know, that is the... Look... The British Museum, to me, sounds like a picture Tura boys displaying all the all the cell phones that they have grabbed, and then indicating the day that it was grabbed, and the person it was grabbed from, and the make and model of the phone. Now, the owner of the phone can only come and look at the phone, but they cannot take it back because all of a sudden now it's against the law.
Yeah. And the same Tura boys or the same asset forfeiture department guys would then say, listen, you can pay a fee to come and
Come and see the phone that we stole from you.
Yeah. Yes. And then it just stays there. You you just leave, but you can come back again tomorrow to pay another fee to come and view it again.
Yep. You can't touch it, by the way. It's in a glass box.
I know.
All you just have to do is replace thief with collector and
Thief with collector.
Yeah, it's not a thief, it's a collector.
And curator with, also collector.
You have a collector.
So it's collector and curator.
And also replace stolen with collected. Look, language is important, bro.
No, English is just unnecessary. English is just unnecessary, but you know what? It does it very well.
It's really good. Yeah,
it does really well. Okay, that's probably one of the reasons why I got that comment on the work group the other day. That I tried to make people sound that they are dumb, but I didn't, you know? Okay, I'm sorry, but the person did literally did compare Starlink and a satellite monitoring station.
You're so getting madder today.
Look, there's nothing I can do. Because we stay on point, you stay on the technicalities, and that's what English does. It helps you with that regard. You know, he might just WhatsApp me right now. I just have to make sure. But anyway, so Okay, Helmut, if we have to ask from this particular question, is there anything wrong with joining ISCOS?
No, I don't see any problem. But the question I keep asking is, what are we planning on shipping?
For me, I also don't see an issue with ISCOS. It's just, it's not even red flags. It's just question marks in terms of, okay, so ISCOS has to now exist from Kenya, mm-hmm. has to be now...
Oh, no, it's now Moesnamos.
Okay, yeah, it's now Moesna. So Moesna has to sit in Kenya. Moesna now has to...
I don't even know why it was also... I mean, if they rebranded in... You know, if they rebranded... That's according to their website in 2006.
Yeah.
Or was that 2006 or 2024? Why are we still referring to them as ISCOS?
Because I think it's the foundational documents.
Oh, you know, okay. Yeah.
Because
right.
You know, in what's that called? In legal... negotiations, you have to must now understand where does this thing actually come from.
Yeah.
So, as we are now obviously sitting here in this particular perspective of trying to understand what is the idea behind Moesna. Moesna's so far, Moesna looks like the avenue to, you know, pursue. So it's safe to say that because Moesna also looked like a go-between between the original ISCOS, and remember the civil society website that I shared with you, the one with the paywall.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. Because the two of them mentioned ISCOS as sort of like, you know, we are speaking on behalf of this entity. Here are the documents and you may proceed from here.
Okay.
But once again, I don't see an issue. I've got question marks. Supposedly, they would have some sort of a function at the port facilities of a country because they would need to open up branches. But if you weigh this up, and this is the only thing, Helmut,
yeah.
If you weigh this up against the actual employment creation and the actual industrialization perspective of or endeavors of Namibia, meaning this is Namibia's goals, what will Moesna do in terms of job creation? Or what will their activities do? Because if Namibia has to pay membership fees in US dollars to an agency that it now signs up to, that is based in Mombasa, Kenya,
yeah.
What will it do in terms of job creation? At least here in Windhoek, you would know if a new parastatal is established, job creation is immediate. But what would Moesna do for Namibia? There was also a scenario of, what was that other commission that Namibia, it's Namibia, South Africa, and Angola. It's the Benguela Commission. It's a joint venture. It's like a joint venture SOE situation. And at the stage, we, the media, we didn't know who to talk to from Benguela Commission. Because you only know you could speak to the Ministry of Fisheries. Now Ministry of Fisheries doesn't exist anymore. Now it's now Ministry of Agriculture. Helmut, we're jumping the gun. How could I forget this as the pivotal pieces of information to consider? So, they're talking about transportation, which is, okay, shipping is a format of transportation, obviously. Ministry of Works probably first has to present this to Ministry of Environment, Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform, and Ministry of Trade and International Relations. And then subsequently also Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy. Why do I say it first has to present this to these four ministries? It's four sister ministries. Because you can clearly see the ISCOS or the Moesna guys came to Minister Nakundi, spoke to him. Minister Nakundi is now obviously... And that happened in last year, 2025. Minister Nakundi now obviously has to come and play it before National Assembly. National Assembly now has to have a discussion about this. But he has to also go and present what this is about to four sister ministries. Why? There's something known as the Marine Spatial Plan that was under the Ministry of Fisheries before, obviously when I was merged with Ministry of Agriculture. The Marine Spatial Plan, Helmut, is literally... Think of it as land use planning. Planning activities and identifying activities that are taking place within your national waters, which includes your rivers, which are the borders, dams, other particular sort of like bodies of water found onshore or inland, and then your national waters across up and down the coastline. So that means if it's luxury and tourism activities, if it's fishing, if it's extraction, if it's deep sea drilling, deep sea mining, if it's tourism, if it's nature conservation and animal habitat protection zones, they've got to be both above sea and below sea. They've got to be identified and they've got to be managed. That is what a marine spatial plan dictates. You've got to identify all these activities. Secondly, on top of this, this marine spatial plan, since it fell under the now defunct Ministry of Fisheries, which now would be part of Ministry of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform, this has to also be presented to Ministry of Environment, because the word environment means anything in the air, on the ground and in the waters,
yeah,
is what you've got to talk about. So that's the big sister or the big brother you've got to talk to.
Yeah.
So for Minister Nekundi obviously now to come to everyone else in the August House of the National Assembly of the Parliament of Namibia, it's not wrong what he did. It's not wrong. But it's not the right conversation to channel or to start.
You should have had the conversation with the sister ministries before bringing it to Parliament. I mean, aren't they like they also when they are deliberating on this thing?
Yes. And you rarely see the other ministers chime in and ask a fellow minister, "Hello, brah, what are you doing? Why didn't you first present this to me?"
Well, if you ask me, they should start. But
yeah, we'll take another live read and we come back, guys.
Get your kicks from ShopRite Liquor Shops, Smirnoff 1818 Original Vodka for only $159 and 99 cents. Harrier's Whiskey and Gordon's Dry Gin for $179 and 99 cents each. KWV 3-year-old brandy for $199 and 99 cents. Richelieu brandy for $189 and 99 cents. And J&B Scotch whiskey for just $239 and 99 cents. Please don't drink and drive. ShopRite Liquor Shops care.
Vavice University, for the 2026 applications that are now extended for the Faculty of Health Sciences for the following courses: Certificate in Health Science Foundation, Diploma in Environmental Health Science, Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing, Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health, Postgraduate Diploma in Occupational Health and Safety, Master of Science in Occupational Health and Safety, and the Master of Public Health. For more information, call 081-403-6406. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever.
So, Africa. It's a good thing we are thinking big. I like our thoughts, but the implementation, you are.
Look, it's Africa-wise, Helmut, I'd say if you look at Namibia's particular endeavors and Namibia's particular pathway, because I'm going to promote only my country. Probably South Africa, because I obviously have some sort of like familial connections there.
Yeah.
And also SADC, and let me also be honest, because I'm very proud of SADC, is that we, Namibia, then Namibia and SADC, we are doing a pretty good job. Why am I citing this? Well, I referenced the Lobito Corridor development.
Yeah.
The Lobito Corridor development is to help connect or to help develop a trade corridor or multiple trade corridors. Yes, Namibia wants to maintain its supposed dominant position. I say supposed because no one has gone and given me data or statistics about the Walvis Bay corridor, trade corridor, which also includes the Lüderitz port as well. So that means traffic coming out of South Africa, even heading into to the Lüderitz port or the Lüderitz Bay, and obviously other traffic that obviously comes from Botswana and from Zambia heading to to Walvis Bay. Those are the particular key considerations that I'm weighing up in that regard.
Yeah.
But before that, it was Durban, it was Port Elizabeth before Port Elizabeth became Kabergha. It was what's the port that Tanzania has? The one at Dar es Salaam, that port. It was that port as well. Obviously, it could have been the Mozambican ports, because I think Mozambique has got two port facilities, the one in the problematic Cabo Delgado area, and then the other one further south, I think it's Maputo. Maputo is a port city. Speaking under correction, just slightly forgetting my geography about Mozambique. But yeah, let's assume for now that it's Maputo. Look, I mean, we have to assume slightly.
I know.
Yeah, slightly. Because I know this. There is another port facility between the southernmost point of Mozambique and Cabo Delgado, which is to the north of Mozambique. But in between that, there is sort of like a third port facility or third port town or fishing harbor situation. Yeah. So,
but the main one is the Maputo, I think.
Yeah. Well, with Cabo Delgado is primarily because it also has like a, what's that thing's name? Not the refinery because of the gas. They don't call it a refinery, but something that you can, you know, that you can fill up freight transport with. So I just don't know if it's a actual port facility that's positioned there or if it's just trucks, freight trucks that drive up and down Mozambique. So in that consideration, SADC is doing pretty well. Now, obviously, speaking in terms of general emotional analysis, I'm talking about the emotional analysis now from East Africa. East Africa obviously wants to merge somehow and still, you know, maintain its direct trade relations and trade linkages to Southern Africa's prosperity, because SADC has a clear goal of saying we need to become economically integrated. We are already seeing these manifestations. We're already benefiting the various economies. The downside is, what's the rest of Africa doing? Will Moesna try to provide said linkages or not? That's where I can only end it.
Yeah, one thing I know is the extractive industry is reliant on, the natural resources, which are finite. Now, if you ask me, for the whole continent to build an industry, to build a transport system on a finite resource, this is a very dumb idea. So unless we are looking into, look, the question is again, Peugeot, Dango Tannery, Nkurenguru Textile, Kalimbeza Rice Farm that has now have this, what's that word that I just invented? Bambara's rice that can't be processed because the machines are, have never been serviced in 10 years. What are we planning on shipping?
And then the resource is just sitting there. No one is buying or selling it. And on that note, guys, enjoy the rest of your programming. Let's see each other tomorrow.